Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
About 6:40 last night, officers responded to the 500 block of Gerhart in the Cordova Park neighborhood. And what we were doing there was we were looking for two little girls, 5 and 8, who had gone missing from their residence. At about 7:10, officers located the girls in a swimming pool in a neighbor's backyard. Life-saving measures were attempted. The officers jumped in the pool, pulled the girls from the pool, began CPR. Pensacola Fire Department arrived. Escambia EMS arrived. They were rushed to the hospital. Tragically, both girls have passed away. So just an absolutely devastating time for that family, for the neighborhood, for the city as a whole.
It's the most awful news. Anybody who's a parent, anybody who's ever been around kids, you know, just kids are nothing but a bundle of worry all the time. Right? You're always worried about your kids. Where are they? Are they safe? You know, am I doing everything? You always question yourself. That's 100% normal. And in this case, you know, these two girls, were not found quickly. They did the exact right thing. They called the police immediately. You're absolutely, they would rather come to 100 false calls because people called too quickly. This nonsense about waiting 24 or 48 hours that the TVs lie to you about is completely false. 100. It is the most dangerous myth commonly perpetuated in television and movies, the 24 to 48 hour waiting period before you call the police. It's absolutely false. Call them immediately for adults or children, period. End of story. Call immediately. Okay. So, but they did. And so the search began, and then, you know, the worst possible outcome. How did it happen?
So 5 and 8 year old girls, we will describe them as beautiful girls. I saw their picture while we were looking for them. Very adventurous. And I walked the area myself. There is an exterior fence. There is an interior fence. Talked to the neighbors there. They have little kids that actually live in that house too. So there's no concern, negligence, any sort of that. The reality in this particular case is sometimes when everybody does everything right, the family, the neighbors, sometimes tragedy still happens, and that was the case here.
It does. Chief Eric Winstrom's exactly right. Sometimes everybody does everything right, and still horrible things happen. And, you know, I told you this yesterday, that the pool had two fences. You know, it wasn't like a pool party. It wasn't like an open fence. It wasn't the negligence. There was no, you know, just horrible, terrible things happen, even when you do everything right. And, at the root, I think the reason we want so badly to find someone to blame or something to blame, you know, there's a part of us, and it's kind of an ugly thing to think about, but I think it's true. Okay. I think there's a part of all of us when we first heard this story that maybe expected to find out that they didn't have a fence, or that the gate was left open, or, you know, and weirdly, okay, there's a part of us that actually hoped for such an explanation, because we all so badly want to be able to control and predict the world and be confident that no bad thing is going to happen to us or our loved ones or our friends and our families. And so at the root, it's a very normal thing, is that we were all kind of hoping we'd find somebody to blame or something to blame or some explanation, because, well, bad things just happen is not very satisfying. And it's a terrifying thing, because we want so badly to know that nothing bad's going to happen to our people. You can do, like the chief said, you can do everything right and bad things still happen. That's a story as old as humanity. It's in the Bible. You know, this is one fairly famous passage where, you know, Jesus is saying, did you think that the people that were killed when the tower fell on them, or, you know, when the political leaders executed them, you think those people were any worse than you or, you know, deserved it any more than you. There's kind of this theodicy view of the world, which is a heresy of thinking that if you do right, then nothing bad happens to you. And then bad things happen to you. It's because of evidence of, you know, you did something wrong. Like, you know, hurricanes hit because of sinful cities and all this nonsense. The world doesn't work that way. We want to think it does. You know, we want to think, like, if I go to church and I pray and I read my Bible and I pay my, you know, my gifts, my offerings, my tithes, you know, and I do nice things, then everything's going to go well for me. If I put two fences around my, if the neighbor's got two fences around their pool, then the kids can't be in danger. It works that way so much that we get lulled in the false sense of belief that that's actually how things work. And it's not. You know, you can do an awful lot to make your kids safe. You can't do everything. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't do everything. Kids raised with no risk don't become adults. They need it. They need danger. They need risk. It's normal. And pools themselves are dangerous. They kill more kids every year than almost anything else that you could easily get rid of. But what would the cost be? A lot of fun. A lot of recreation. And a life that does have danger in it. You know, getting in a car is dangerous. Getting in a plane is dangerous. Walking down the street is dangerous. Breathing is dangerous. Playing on swings is dangerous. And living next door to a pool or near a pool is dangerous. Life is full of that. You cannot control it. The 8-year-old apparently loved to climb things. An 8-year-old can climb a fence. You know, and the theory is that the 8-year-old probably climbed the fence and let her sister in.
Precocious kids, very, very athletic. It seems like the 8-year-old enjoyed climbing, that we heard from neighbors, that she could be seen, you know, climbing sheds and things like that in the area. So it was just a case of she was able to scale the fence, it looked like, and gain access to this pool and probably let her sister in through a gate.
Probably that's what happened. More on this in a second. And listen, I know that nobody wants to think about this. I know that. I don't want to think about this. The more you think about it, the more you just want to sit and cry. I trust me. But we live in a world where things like this happen, and we will all be forced at times to think in our own lives about such issues. And I don't think that the healthy answer is, well, let's just not talk about it. I think the healthy answer is, let's learn how to think wisely, faithfully, biblically, compassionately about this, so that when, not if, but when something happens to you, you have the equipment to think about it well. Because it's hard. It really is. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still rolling accident-free right now, but if you are on 9 Mile Road, both eastbound and westbound between Highway 29 and I-10 exit, you're going to see maybe a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So, again, I know nobody wants to talk about this. I think we need to. I mean, the community is hurting. These families are devastated. The family that owned the pool, the family that lost the two girls, everybody who knew them, the first responders, EMS, fire, whoever was at the scene, everybody who thinks about this. And I know Chief Winstrom's advice is exactly right. Hug your babies. Tell them you love them. You never know for sure. But you cannot live your life in the fear that today is going to be the last day, even though you should hug them and tell them you love them to make sure you did that. Now, I know also part of this is we want to understand what happened. And at the moment, all we have is a theory. This is the theory because they were asked about, you know, he was asked about swimming proficiency. You know, at what age should you teach your kids as early as you can? Okay, teach them to swim. Sure, of course. That doesn't mean they're always going to be safe. Adults die in pools too. Adults die in the ocean too, in the Gulf. You know, I mean, it's just, you can't avoid all the danger. But yeah, I mean, teach your kids to swim. But his answer?
Well, I don't know about the young girl. Like I said, this is an 8 and a 5-year-old. I know when my own kids were in swim lessons, it was probably around 8 years old. I have no knowledge that the young one had swim lessons. I believe that the older one had been in the pool. Is it possible that the younger one fell in and was struggling and the 8-year-old went savior? That this was obviously these little girls loved each other very much. They spent a lot of time together on adventures, and if we were going through the possibilities, it's very possible that the 8-year-old passed while trying to save her 5-year-old, who was a less proficient swimmer. I think that's a real possibility, but I don't have concrete as far as that answer.
Yeah, and at best, that's a theory, but it is the most plausible explanation. Two kids are out having fun. The older one climbs a fence, lets her sister in. They start swimming. The 5-year-old gets into trouble. The 8-year-old tries to save her, and they both drown. It's a very plausible explanation. It might not have happened that way, but it is a little hard to explain how both of them would drown if that's not somehow related. So what do you do with this? And by the way, the fences were at code. He actually said that, you know, here, I'll let the question answer because I want you to hear it. You know, did it meet code? It exceeded it.
Chief, have you determined whether that fence apparatus met city code and state code?
My assessment is that it exceeded it. Yeah, I had no, and I told the homeowner this as I looked at it last night. I had no, that backyard looked like exactly what a safe backyard with a swimming pool would look like.
And that's why it's so horrifying. Because what we all want is control. We all want the security of believing that we've done the things that'll make us and our baby safe. That's always what you want. But that control is at least somewhat an illusion. The car crash can affect you. We have families that, you know, children and families that die in car wrecks all the time. Does it mean you shouldn't drive? No. Does it mean you should drive more safely? Yes. The human mind in a sinful world, again, wants to believe that if we sort of follow certain rules, avoid certain dangers, pay off God appropriately. I know it's a horrible way to say it, but you know it's true. It's how we think. You know, I've done this and this and this good thing, so I should be set. You know, I've got my life insurance, my God insurance, and my prudent behavior. Everything's going to be fine. No, you don't know that. We were at SeaWorld one time when our youngest got away from me somehow or other. I don't remember how it happened exactly, but I knew he was not with me in a crowd of thousands. Boy, you want to talk about a terrifying experience. And he was fine. But he could have not been. I talked to Chip yesterday, Chip Simmons, and I told him the story. You know, we were at a pool party one time when my oldest was quite young, and I mean, he was like a year and a half maybe, I think, at the time, and we're just all, you know, doing our thing. He's wandering around by the pool in the backyard, and all of a sudden, he's in the pool. My friend jumped in to grab him. I was right behind him, but, you know, 5 feet farther away. And they got him out. It's fine. It's a couple seconds in a pool. No big deal. But, boy, you want to talk about terrifying. And it could have not been fine. Kids climb trees. Kids climb across rivers on trees. Kids go play in the ocean or the Gulf. Yeah, I mean, you can't let your kids not be at risk because that is harm, too. Negligence of the sort that doesn't take care of them is negligence. Negligence of the kind that deprives them of the ability to operate in the world and take risks, and it's also negligence. You need both. So a couple of thoughts about how to deal with it. But here's one. The most common thing that people do if they're wanting to go in the wrong direction is they'll say, how could a good God let something like this happen to innocent children or to good people, or something like that? It's actually literally called the problem of evil or the problem of suffering. It's the oldest theological problem there is. How could a good God who knows everything let this happen? Okay, I don't have the answer for you. There is no real great answer to this. I mean, if there were, certainly the religious people would have come up with it by now. But there are a couple of things to think about. One is, God doesn't care less than you do. God doesn't love or didn't love these two girls less than their parents. He loved them more. Because it's tempting to think that, you know? But he loved them more. It's not that he cares less. He actually cares more. And you say, well, how could he let it happen? I don't have an answer for that. But I know both are true. Been a lot of ink spent on this problem over the years. But if you start from the premise that God doesn't care as much as you do, then you're going to go down all the wrong paths. And if you start from the premise that God cares more than you do, you'll at least be able to head down the right path. Also, prayer doesn't prevent every bad thing. It doesn't. Prayer matters. Prayer is effective. But prayer doesn't, you know, you feel like if I pray this way, then the trip will be safe, or the yacht, you know, the boat trip will be safe, or the, you know, the incident that we're doing, the activity, everything. No. But still pray. You know, still pray. But it's not an insurance policy. It doesn't work that way. And I know that's uncomfortable, but here's the, you know, what's the solution? In times of tragedy, people, prayer, and don't try to rush yourself out of feeling the pain of it. It's going to suck for a while and probably forever. That's normal too. That's human. You know, a lot of times Christians, I think, are very mildly counterproductive because we'll try to quote some scripture, you know, God works all things to the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. True. It's a scripture quote, okay? It's not helpful to somebody who's grieving. Because what you're trying to tell them is don't be sad. Jesus wept over Lazarus, the guy who's about to resurrect. You know, I mean, like, he knows. So don't try to talk people out of their grief. Just sit in it with them. Comfort them. Hold them. Be there for them. That's the number one way to help people out of this stuff. Anyway, John, you're a religious man. You hang around with religious people all the time. Anything you want to add?
No.
All right. Okay. Traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on Highway 90 going southbound into Pensacola, you'll experience maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, we're seeing about a 6 minute delay there. And also 9 Mile going westbound approaching I-10. Seeing about a 3 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
And I know I don't need to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Be praying for the first responders, the family, the neighbors, the friends, everybody involved in this situation.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think he can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when he says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. Wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
And just like that, my running days was over. So I went home to Alabama.
And hey, just one small thing is, even when something like this happens, it's okay to laugh today. It's okay to relax today. It's okay to live your life today, to enjoy your lunch today. And it's okay to cry today. I mean, you know, that's kind of all part of it, right? Sometimes people feel guilty about the things that they do when there's a horrible thing that happens. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's okay. Hey, if you need a new roof or you need a replacement or a repair to your roof, or you don't know which, Quality Roofing Solutions, they can take care of you for that. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago in 2006, and they've put in a couple of roofs since then. 10,000. 10,000 roofs. About 90% replacement, about 10% repair. That's what they do. Lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs, which is unheard of, absolutely unheard of. But if you need one, you know, look, I know nobody is excited about, woohoo, I get to spend a few thousand dollars, and it's more than a few, on a roof. But, hey, you have to every once in a while. Your insurance will tell you. If you're selling a home, they'll tell you. If you've got a leak, they'll tell you. You know, okay. You just want the work done right, on time, for a reasonable price. That's them. Had a good friend use them recently. That's what she said. They did what they're supposed to do. They weren't necessarily the cheapest. They certainly weren't the most expensive. They were fair. And I used them, and I'm super glad I did. So, qualityroofingsolutions.com, 777-0961. Let's see. Dave, do you have a quick headline for us?
Well, a federal judge has barred Alabama from executing inmate Jeffrey Lee using nitrogen gas.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump says Iran will have to pay the price. The president posting on Truth Social, they've taken too long to negotiate a deal that would have been great for them. An incredible new detail straight from the president about the survival of two pilots whose helicopter was hit by Iranian forces.
The president called it a miracle. This drone hits the Apache helicopter, lodges between the two pilots. It's on fire, and there's a massive amount of heat coming out of the drone, but it doesn't explode. And these pilots very quickly, within seconds, take the helicopter down into the sea.
Fox's Trey Ng spoke directly to the president. Those pilots rescued about 2 hours later for the first time by an unmanned sea drone. Democrat voters deliver a big victory to Graham Plattner. The embattled Senate candidate wins the main primary, will run against Republican incumbent Senator Susan Collins in November. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 75 degrees. Looks like a nice sunny morning. We'll get an update on our weather forecast with Marion Caldwell up in just a few minutes. A Florida Highway Patrol trooper was taken to the hospital yesterday after a rear-end crash with a tractor trailer on I-10 in Santa Rosa County. Troopers say the patrol car was headed eastbound when the semi slowed for traffic. The trooper rear-ended the truck from behind. The truck driver was not hurt. No other details on that accident have been announced. Well, Pensacola continues processing the tragic drowning deaths of those two young sisters found in a pool on Gerhardt Drive. Police Chief Eric Winstrom says he saw those girls' photos as they were searching for them, and he wants the community to know a little more about who those girls were.
5 and 8-year-old girls. We will describe them as beautiful girls. I saw their picture while we were looking for them. Very adventurous. Very athletic. It seems like the 8-year-old enjoyed climbing, that we heard from neighbors that she could be seen, you know, climbing sheds and things like that in the area.
And during a press conference yesterday, Winstrom did say the older girl had gone missing before. A sergeant on scene knew the girl and recalled her saying that she liked to explore. He says the family was aware of that girl's adventurous nature as well and was looking for her actively when officers were called. Autopsies on the girls are pending. The investigation continues. Winstrom did say he does not anticipate any criminal charges relating to the case. Now, the city of Pensacola has hired two new department leaders. Steve Bayham joins as Economic Development Director. He comes from the same role, Citrus County, Florida. Joel Holmes joining the city as the new Assistant Parks and Recreation Director, previously serving as the Executive Director of the Bainbridge-Decatur County Recreation Authority in Georgia. And together, the city says the two of them bring 45 years of combined experience to the city. Well, the annual Pete Moore Automotive Team Senior Chill Out Drive had a big year here in Escambia County, and for Escambia and Santa Rosa County senior citizens. The Council on Aging saying that they collected 308 air conditioners, 254 fans, and more than $75,000 in monetary donations during that drive event last week. That topped last year's totals across the board, and seniors who need an air conditioner or a fan can contact the Council on Aging to check their eligibility. Governor DeSantis has signed a bill awarding more than $2 million to a St. Petersburg man that was paralyzed after being injured in a police transport van. Herberto Sanchez Mayan was arrested 3 years ago and placed in a van with no seatbelt. He hit his head on the bulkhead when the driver stopped. He was paralyzed and later had both legs amputated. Sanchez Mayan has already reached a separate $2.5 million settlement with the city of St. Petersburg. And it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with John Pickens, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still rolling accident-free. I-10, I-110 all look good this morning. Highway 90 starting to clear up. 9 Mile westbound approaching I-10, you're still going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. And 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 5 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 weather forecast with Marion Caldwell.
Warm and humid conditions continue here on your Wednesday morning, allowing for some patchy fog development that should start to burn off going into the later morning hours. Highs will be topping out in the upper 80s and low 90s once again this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies expected with low chances for some rain, but can't rule out an isolated or stray shower developing later this afternoon. Tonight stays mostly clear with temperatures in the 70s, and then Thursday, hot and humid once again with mostly sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And right now, looking like a beautiful sunny morning. We've got 75 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Consumer inflation likely increased at its fastest pace in 3 years in May as the Middle East conflict raised prices of energy products. Reuters economists predict that the consumer price index likely increased by 4.2% on an annual basis. They also expect to have a 0.5% increase on a monthly basis. Anthropic announced Cloud Fable 5, a Mythos-class model that will be available to its enterprise customers and paid subscribers. The company unveiled Mythos in April and has limited the rollout because of its advanced cybersecurity capabilities. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average contract interest rate for 30-year mortgages increased last week to 6.6% from 6.57%. Applications to refinance a home loan rose 15% for the week. Futures are down this morning after President Trump said Iran is taking too long to negotiate. Both Dow and NASDAQ futures are down by more than 400 points. That's your money now.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hurricane season begins June 1st, but preparation starts now. Florida's severe weather season is underway, and the same steps that help you prepare for hurricanes, making a plan, gathering supplies, and staying informed, also help protect you during severe weather today. For simple step-by-step guidance, visit floridamakeaplan.com. One plan can help you prepare for many storms. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are.
Down with the DC talk. Get down with the DC talk. Get down with the DC talk.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, Mayor D.C. Reeves is out, but we have David Stafford, the city administrator, to join us. David, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to hear from you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we got a lot of stuff going on in the city, and you're the, for people who may not know, we elect a mayor, and then the mayor hires you, and then you do all the work, and he, what, you know, goes to ribbon cuttings and flies around and is part of the conference of mayors, right?
In theory, but that is, as you know, knowing the mayor, that's absolutely not the case. It's probably furthest from the case.
Very
from,
good.
From reality. So.
Oh, and by the way, before we get going, I want to remind you that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Sorry about that. I'm terrible at radio. Back to David Stafford. So let's talk about some of the projects that you're overseeing right now. Obviously, the Baptist demolition. Where are we at with that? Where are we at in the process?
So the demolition of the actual towers is expected to begin within a week.
Oh, wow.
The work will start on Tower 1 and then go floor by floor. And then this phase, that includes the connector and tower buildings on the north side of the campus, if you're familiar with that campus near Avery Street. The debris is going to be hauled from Marino towards E. Sort of the next phase in that demo, and there's been a lot of activity. A lot of it's been internal to the buildings, as you know. But
remediation and, you know, getting rid of the stuff they can't just demolish, right?
Correct. This is a huge priority for the mayor going back a couple of years to make sure that the we don't have a big abandoned hospital in the center of our city.
And we still don't have a development plan, right? We still don't have anybody at this point, all we're guaranteed to do is get down to basically an empty lot, right?
There actually is something that's going to be coming before the CRA next week.
Oh.
The CRA board to kickstart that process. That's something that's being put forward by councilman and CRA chair Wiggins.
Okay. Which is good. It's his district, and he was kind of the one that led the charge to kill the deal with the Bayou group or whatever it was. So any shape on that proposal that you're able to say at this point?
I think it's basically the public engagement piece. But I would defer to Councilman Wiggins on that. It's his proposal.
Okay.
And again, that's going to be discussed before the CRA board next week.
Speaking of, I guess the CRA is going to entertain the possibility of expanding its footprint pretty significantly. Is that right?
Yeah, this is something that the CRA has been talking about for some time. And what's on for discussion for the CRA board meeting on Monday is a discussion about what a expansion would look like. There was a consultant that was engaged by the CRA board to come up with a plan. This was part of the CRA plans that were adopted by the CRA and the CRA boards. And so this is the next sort of progression in that process. But the item for Monday is a discussion item about what that would look like, which includes public engagement, among other things. And so that, again, will be an item for discussion by the CRA board on Monday.
And for people who may not know, and I always want to make sure that people who are new to the show or just maybe don't remember all, there's a lot of details to remember for local government. The Community Redevelopment Agency or area, depends whether it's the place or the board, the basic idea is we stop at a certain point in time with the valuation of the properties in that area. Anything increasing after that date, the property tax revenue has to go back into developing the area. It's meant to fix blight, like back on Palafox back in the day. The idea is you reinvest in that area and you eventually make a whole bunch more money. But that means that any growth in value would no longer be going into the general fund. Instead, it would be going specifically to reinvestment in that area, and they're talking about expanding it. Did I say anything wrong, David?
No, you got it. A lot of the projects that that are familiar to folks have in the city the last couple of years the CRA has played an important role in that. The other thing, of course, I'll say is that, you know, given the property tax amendment, I'm sure that is going to be a topic of, you know, I can imagine that's going to be a topic of discussion during that discussion on Monday.
And there's even, you know, there's been off and on talk about getting rid of CRAs. What would that mean? Obviously, money that's already been bonded would probably be protected from something like that for legal reasons. The mayor himself has brought up the question of, well, what happens to CRA bonded money if the property taxes are dramatically affected? And I'd say at this point, is it still true to say we just don't know yet what would happen there?
I mean, I think part of it, you know, we're still waiting for information from the property appraiser to see what the proposed impact on the CRAs would be.
Got it.
Getting
it
finalized data from them. Of course, you know, exactly what you said.
We're talking to David Stafford. He's a city manager for the city of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, David. We've got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, you'll notice about a 6-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to David Stafford. Data centers continue to be a topic of conversation. The mayor has said he's not interested in that kind of economic development within the city, but it's been at the Escambia Council, the Santa Rosa Commission, both have talked about it in the last couple of days or weeks. Anything that you guys have done, could do to change, you know, land development code, future land use? I know we just went through a rewrite at the LDC, but have you guys been looking at that, or are you confident that, like, it's just not going to happen right now?
Yeah, we have not, I think as the mayor has already said, we have not engaged in any conversations with folks or had any folks approach us about doing any kind of data center within the city limits. So as to your question about whether or not our current land development code would support something like that, I think that's another question that I just don't have the answer to that right this second. But I just know that it's not been a topic of conversation as far as something that that the city has been engaged in seeking out data centers or even receiving inquiries about having them placed inside the city.
Yeah, and I've this morning and several other times mentioned my own observation is that I think that people are yelling and screaming about data centers because they don't want them in their backyards. Meanwhile, they're using their phones, they're watching videos on Netflix, they're asking Claude to write them an email. I mean, like, people, you know, they're going to have to go somewhere. The question is just where. You specifically get to take a little bit of a victory lap. You had two big hires this week, right? Or at least recently that you guys have put out this week.
That's right. That's right. We hired a new economic development director to come in behind Erica, who was the economic development director, and he pending approval by the affirmation by the city council.
Oh, this is a city council approval. Okay. All right. All director levels. Is that the idea?
Director levels are. That's
Got it.
Correct.
Okay.
And then a new assistant parks director. So two new hires that have started. Again, the economic development director will go before the city council on next Thursday.
And was that was Tanya the assistant until she moved up? Is that right? Or
she was.
So that's been vacant since she moved up. Okay, got it.
That's right.
Good. One of the other things, just kind of a. People might not be aware, but we want to make sure they are. The Bayfront redesign is taking public input. When is that meeting? I can't remember when that is offhand, but what are we going to do? Walking paths, how many lanes, foliage, kind of all of that, right?
Sure. The meeting's on Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 16th. It's at the Pensacola, the main library.
Spring Street. Okay.
The project complements the shared use path design that's underway by FDOT, Florida Department of Transportation, that's going to be providing a trail for walking and biking along Bayfront Parkway. And this design project kind of complements that with the proposed installation of trees, shrubs, and other amenities. And the idea behind this is something that we specifically set out to get public input, because we are going to have some input and what goes on there, what those improvements look like. So certainly encourages 5 to 6:30 on Tuesday, June 16th at the public library there on Spring Street.
All I know is that whatever we eventually land on, I hope that in the future I will still be able to drive on the left lane going eastbound towards the bridge when it's raining and get the left side of my car washed by all the ferns, because that's what I count on right now. And
well, no, I think, as I understand it, that the median is going to be everything's going to kind of shift north a little bit, and then the median's going to get smaller, if that makes sense. But it looks like the anticipated completion of the shared use path is the summer of 2028.
I know people are laughing because we all know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. With all this overgrowth. Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you briefly about is somebody had asked me the question, and you know, I figured I'd ask you. We now have Palafox back open. Any big incidents at the roundabouts, people getting confused, driving off the roads, running into each other, or so far so good?
No, as far as I guess in that, from that perspective, I think no news is good news.
Yeah.
I think we've heard a lot of gotten a lot of input.
An earful, you might say. You
know, yeah, no, most of it's positive. You know, I took the opportunity to drive up and down at the first opportunity I had. And I think it's one of those things that people were anticipating some issues with that what was perceived to be a roundabout, but you know, clearly I think the drivers of City of Pensacola and those visitors have figured that out. So we're excited about the project. You know, it was the fact that it came in on time and under budget.
Yeah.
The fact that we've gotten tremendous positive feedback from you know, citizens and downtown businesses, visitors alike. So we couldn't be more happy. And obviously that work still continues on the side streets.
Right.
So it'll be gone through the end of the year.
So you're telling me that people in Pensacola had an overly dramatic and heightened anxiety anticipatory reaction to something that turned out not to be so bad. It's weird. I've never seen that before.
I am saying that people love Palafox I certainly understand their apprehension, particularly if you're a business owner down there. But, you know, Adrian Walker and our staff did a tremendous job working with the local businesses, obviously under the leadership of the mayor. And obviously it was we consider that a hugely successful project and certainly appreciate the public support. It's, you know, well positioned for the next 40 or 50 years.
You know, I would do want to say this one thing is I don't know who did the masonry work for the bricks, for the pavers, but I really noticed an incredible level of craftsmanship with it. If you go down and look at the side work near the pedestrian walk across at Jackson Square right by O'Reilly's there, and look particularly at the bricks, how they're placed, the angles that were cut, the thin piece. I mean, it really is a work of art. It's like a mosaic that you would see like at Grand Central Station or something like that. I mean, like it's very well done. And so, you know, I think kudos, and I'm sure it's that way all up and down the street. I just didn't pay attention to it everywhere else.
Yeah,
so.
It was, you know, Jerry Pate's company along with Wallace were the ones that did the Wallace, I think specifically it was the folks that did the paver. So yeah, we Site and Utility, Wallace, Steve Dana and the folks at Jerry Pate, I think all did a tremendous job.
Yeah, agreed. It's outstanding, quite frankly. Very good. David Stafford, he is the city manager for the city of Pensacola. I keep wanting to say Gulf Breeze he's the city administrator.
Administrator, that's right.
Sam Abel's going to be texting me. All right. so sorry. He is the city administrator for the city of Gulf Breeze. See, I did it. For the city of Pensacola. Thank you for being available on short notice this morning while the mayor is out. And I look forward to the press conference
absolutely.
Today. David, always appreciate your work, sir, and your availability.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
You bet. And again, I get paid to do radio for a living. Who knew? I'm Andrew McKay.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Nanu.
Good morning, 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. What, you want more Kinks?
Before that, they put up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. That's where the big...
I have in my notes on this song, use it whenever we're talking about new construction, because they're building it.
Come dancing. All our boyfriends used to come and call. Why not come dancing? It's only natural.
A little Mork and Mindy before that. John Pickens has traffic on the, you know, whatever time it is. Go on. Hey,
yeah,
John.
Well, Mork and Mindy, that's such a great show. I know. I miss it. All right. Brought to you by the Pensacola Little Theater, coming to PLT, The Cottage, a fast-paced, laugh-out-loud farce full of twists, June 12th through the 21st. Tickets are available at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the box office. Let's see here. We just had one accident that popped up on Navarre Parkway and Prado Street. No roadblock associated with that one. Just some minor delays. I-10 westbound approaching the 9 Mile exit, seeing about a 7-minute delay in that construction zone. Also 98 westbound approaching Gulf Breeze, about a 4-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You make it sound like it's an accident in the box.
Oh.
It just popped up.
It just popped
like you're
up.
Just cranking,
it did.
You're cranking the wheel
like
and traffic report.
The box.
Oh, there it is.
That's what happened. Being honest.
Orson. Calling Orson. Come in, Orson. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A new federal report is out that finds fewer children are reading for fun in their spare time. The share of 13-year-olds that read for pleasure has now dropped by nearly half since 2012, while reading among 9-year-olds has also declined. Researchers say students who do read more often tend to score higher on standardized tests.
You think? Go on.
More than a million Jeep Wranglers and Gladiators have been recalled due to a potential fire risk. Stellantis is telling anybody who owns a 2021 through 2025 vehicle just to park them outside and away from structures until they're fixed.
I mean, really?
Don't put it in the
park
garage.
Park it in your neighbor's yard.
Why not?
Could catch fire. You never know.
New York is now the first state in the nation, Andrew, to mandate ads disclose if they use AI-generated actors.
Good. Please, good. Yes. By the way, that whole business about kids and reading, listen, you got to own books. You got to read books to your kids. I so appreciate what Quint Studer has done over the years to try to promote childhood literacy. But, yeah, you know, if you don't teach it to them, they won't learn it. Modeling, do it with them. Have books in the house. The studies are clear. That's what gets kids reading.